How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 145 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com, log on to normantranscript.com, check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site for more Thunder coverage. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, Tuesday episode here. If you didn't listen to it, I recorded a big wrap-up of the Kevin Durant game on Saturday night. That podcast was Monday morning's podcast. Did that with Danny LaRue, who's Locked On Warriors host. This one recording really late night in Washington, D.C. before my early morning flight tomorrow morning. The Thunder just got crushed. Like, worst game of the year crushed. This was the worst game they played all year, in my opinion. It was an ugly one. Washington had it the whole way through, 120-98. It wasn't nearly as close as the score indicated, and the final score was a 22-point game. They just got their butts handed to them. Normally, at this point, I read off stats. You know, I go Russell Westbrook, whatever. I'm Russell Westbrook, 17-4-4 tonight. Worst stat line of the year. But the stats were, starters barely played any minutes because they were down by 30-some-odd points, you know, really midway through the third quarter, and no starters even played really the end of the third, let alone any of the fourth. So I'm just going to read off the plus-minuses for the starters because this is something. It really shows how much they struggled. So Andre Roberson was a minus 20 in 15 minutes. Domantas Sabonis was a minus 24 in 23 minutes. Adams, minus 25 in 18 minutes. Oladipo, minus 16 in 17 minutes. And Russell Westbrook was a minus 36 in 24 minutes. That's not just the worst plus-minus of the year for Russell Westbrook. That is the worst plus-minus he's ever had in a game in his career. That is crazy that his plus-minus sunk so low in this game. And it was not just him. Look, he didn't have a good game. But it was not just him. I mean, I can't think of one Thunder player that I can look at and think, like, man, that guy played well. You know, Roberson didn't have a stat in a like Kyle, or who was it who pointed this out? Andrew Schlecht pointed this out on Twitter that, like, Andre Roberson could have had a 15 trillion tonight. And that's when you have a number in the minutes column and you have zeros across the board in all the other stats, except the only numbers that he had were in columns where it's not quite good. So he had no makes, but he went 0-for-2 from the field, 0-for-1 from three, and he had two personal fouls, and that was in 15 minutes. No rebounds, no assists, no points, no steals, no blocks. Poor night from Roberson. They did not play well on defense. Adams subbed out of the game earlier than usual in the first. I didn't ask Billy specifically why he did that, but my guess was because the Thunder were giving up a bunch of looks around the rim. John Wall was killing them in pick and rolls. They were missing shots like crazy. They shot 35% from the field, 21% from three, and it was just a game of these, like, insane streaks. So I'll start with the second most insane streak, which was Washington started the game 9-for-9 from the field. Porter hit a three, and Beal hit a few threes. They were just getting these open looks on the perimeter. Washington is really good. They're really good. Like, that's, at worst, the third best team in the East right now. I mean, they have a top three record in the East. You can make an argument that, look, it's not, I don't necessarily agree with this statement. It's not crazy to say that's the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. It's really not. The Wizards are playing great basketball. They're 27-9 in their last 36 games. They were 6-12. They're 27-9 in their last 36 games right now. Wall is top five point guard. Beal has been healthy, and he's been great all year. Otto Porter is going to get a max contract. I don't know if Washington's going to match an offer sheet he signs elsewhere, or if he's just going to sign up with Washington for a max deal. But Otto Porter's getting a max contract this summer. leads the league in three-point percentage. He's a volume shooter. He's a good player within their offense. He's a really good defensive player. It's just a reminder, like, remember when Otto Porter was a rookie and people were like, what was Washington doing drafting him three? Washington's a really good team. There's absolutely no shame in losing to Washington on the road. And teams have nights like this, and you know, you can, a non-conspiratorialist can say that the Thunder came out with low energy in this game, and Billy Donovan said low energy, Russell Westbrook said low energy, I spoke to Anthony Morrow, he said he thought they had low energy. It was obviously something I talked about in the locker room after. And a non-conspiratorialist can say, hangover from the Golden State game. That was an incredibly emotional game. They got really high for that game. They got really up for that game. Even the game before, which was against Cleveland, that's a really, you know, not nearly as emotional of a game. That's a game you got to get really hyped for. And they won that game. Those are exhausting games to have consecutively. And, you know, when you get to a high, you crash sometimes. That's just what happens emotionally. And they clearly had low energy. They came out. Washington was 9-for-9 to start the game. Now let's go to the more important streak. The thing that defined the game. With 4 minutes left, just about 4 minutes left in the second quarter, the Thunder were down 59-52. They came back. They fought in the first quarter and a half, really. 4 minutes left, it's 59-52. They're down seven. And then they missed 24 shots in a row. You know, I don't know if that's a record. I couldn't look it up on Basketball Reference. 24 shots in a row is a lot of shots in a row to miss. That is a lot. And I wonder, like, the last time a team did that, how many times that happened. They missed, like, over 10 minutes and 2 seconds. They missed 24 shots and had 5 turnovers, and they didn't make a shot. They got outscored 32-5 in that stretch. And they were down 59-52 when that started, like I said. It was 91-57 after, so they were down 34. Not preferable. That's what killed him. And then, you know, Donovan pulls all the starters, and he said he was looking for a way to try to get energy out there. It was just a bad game. The Thunder have the Knicks next. They got the Knicks on Wednesday night, and then they got 9 days off. They look like a team that could use a rest. That's fine. Everyone gets tired in mid-February, and it shows up in different ways. I don't think this is a panic game. The Wizards are really good. They played really poorly. We'll see what happened with the Knicks. Let's not forget, they actually battled Golden State pretty okay. And, like, it's Golden State. They battled Golden State pretty okay. And they played great against Cleveland. So it's not like they're in a slump. Let's not overreact to this. Let's not act like, you know, a lot of the Twitter mentions that I get. The Thunder need to make a move. Maybe they do need to make a move. There are a lot of flaws on the roster, obviously. But, like, they lost 2 games to 2 of the best teams in the NBA. It's okay when you think about it in that sense. But this was very far from an impressive performance from their end. Speaking of Twitter replies, let's get to a couple Twitter questions before we go. First one from Thunder News Daily. Why are we poo-poo? You know what? I guess I kind of answered that one. They're not poo-poo. Let's not overreact. I can't remember the last time I said poo-poo. When was the last time I said poo-poo in, like, a serious sense? Maybe when I was, like, talking to a small child and had to reference poo-poo. Or maybe it was when I was. Because poo-poo is very redundant. You don't need poo-poo. You just need one poo. It's not mahi-mahi. Fans have a tendency to overreact, though. They have a tendency to overreact to single results. There's no need for that here. Like, you will have no argument from me that the Thunder played really, really badly on Monday. I don't think you're going to have any argument from anyone on the team, either. I think they're fully aware that they played a really poor game. They all talked about not coming out with energy. I think Russell Westbrook really pointed that out. Billy Donovan pointed that out. Like, they all talked about it. They didn't play well anywhere. But that doesn't necessarily mean they're not going to play well against the Knicks. If they get throttled by the Knicks on Wednesday, we'll talk. But I don't think that's going to happen. Next one, from My Name is Kaylee. Should Samaje get more playing time over Cam at this point? I don't think he should. So Cameron Payne tonight played 22 minutes in the blowout, 12 points, 5-9 shooting, 2-4 from 3. Had a couple of assists, 4 turnovers. He was actually a plus in the game, but, like, all these numbers, they're all against bench players, you know, in major, major garbage time. So they don't really mean anything. Samaje played 10 minutes in the game. I don't think that Cam should be benched for Samaje. I don't. But I do think the conversation is an interesting one. And I certainly think people on the other side of me in this conversation have a very legitimate point. And I do think intelligent people can argue that intelligently. So I'll tell you my reasoning, and then you can believe what you want to believe, because I think both sides of this argument have legitimate points, because Cam is, he struggled, for sure. I think you got to give Cameron Payne the opportunity to fail. And if he fails, he fails. But what's the worst case scenario if Cameron Payne isn't good? In the short term, what's the worst case scenario in the short term if Cameron Payne's not good? The worst case scenario in the short term is maybe you lose an extra game or two or something like that because your backup point guard isn't as quite as good as he could be. That's the worst case scenario. But you get to find out who Cameron Payne is moving forward. He's got the higher ceiling than Samaje. I think we can all agree on that. Even if you think Samaje is better right now, he's got the higher ceiling than Samaje. Offensively, for sure. And in the role that they want to put him in, for sure, he's got the higher ceiling. I think people know what Samaje is and what he's going to be. He's probably going to be about this, right? He can probably improve his offensive game a little more. Maybe his shot can get a little bit better. Maybe his handle can get better because he's a really, really high dribbler. He's a good on-ball defender. He fights hard, and he's long, and he's physical, and he's good guarding the ball, and he's good navigating screens and all that. And he'll be good at that. I think he's going to have a career. I do. But I think, Cam was your first-round pick a couple years ago. They didn't quite give him the opportunity so they could find out exactly what he was last year. And that was different because they were on. And look, I was critical last year, too, of like they should find out what Cameron Payne is. They should absolutely find out what Cameron Payne is. But they, Billy put Brits guys in and out of a rotation, and I think he didn't quite trust him as much as a rookie. And, I think they wanted to win as many games as possible after the paranoia of 2014-15 as well, when they had all those injuries and they ended up missing the playoffs, due to a tiebreaker with New Orleans. And I think this year, what's the difference? They're going to be the 6th or the 7th seed. What's the difference if they lose a couple more games? It's not going to make them a championship contender or not. And if Cam does end up playing well, now you've got your higher ceiling. If he doesn't, at least you know what he is. So yeah, I think there are certain situations, and Billy's done this. Against Golden State, Samaje was in there over Cam for stretches. In another game too recently, I forget exactly which one, but Samaje was in there over Cam for stretches. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Samaje is going to be in there for Cam for a lot, but I think there are certain scenarios where, sure, you do it. You need Cam's not playing well on a particular night. You need defense, all that stuff. That's okay. But I do think you have to keep him in the rotation because you just, with a young player, you got to develop. You got to give him minutes. You got to find out what he is for your future. You got to do that, especially with a guy who is a first-round pick. Next one from Nate. You said on the podcast before that OKC isn't the worst three-point shooting team, but they're bottom five. Are they bottom three yet? Yeah, so when I said that, I was more referring to Chicago being the worst. And I still think Chicago is the worst. They have a lot of inconsistent shooters, and the Thunder at least have a couple of guys who can make it. I still think Chicago's the worst. When I said bottom five, I was just kind of riffing. I think the Thunder are the second worst three-point shooting team in the league. They were 7-for-34 again tonight. Chicago is just so low. Right now, they're super close. I mean, Chicago's 31.6% from three. The Thunder are 31.8% from three. But the Thunder at least generate a bunch more threes. They're taking, I think, about six more threes a game or something like that. The three-point rate's a lot higher. Chicago is dead last in three-point percentage, dead last in attempts, dead last in three-point rate, which is just the percentage of your field goal attempts that come from three-point range. So, anything from three, they're last. They're last in makes. They're last in it all. The Thunder make two more threes a game than Chicago does. So, I think the Thunder are definitely better than Chicago because taking threes is, maybe not just as important as making threes, but it factors into how good of a three-point shooting team you are. You can't be the best, you can't be the best three-point shooting team if you're all the way at the bottom of the league in attempts. You just can't. You got to be a team that takes them off. And that's why Houston and Golden State are so good. They shoot a really high percentage on a ton of attempts. So Thunder are better than Chicago. I'm not sure they're better than anybody else from three. Abrinas is really good from three. Oladipo's been slumping. He's down to 35% now from range. The rest of the team doesn't really have many guys. I think Cam is going to be a good three-point shooter. I think he's going to get there, but he hasn't made them so far. But I think he actually will. Sabonis has really fallen off. Maybe this is just going to be a theme the rest of the year. I'm not convinced that it is. Maybe he'll just shoot this percentage. I think he's around 32-33%. And I still don't understand why Anthony Morrow isn't making threes. Like, if he's in a slump or what it is. You know, I wonder if he's going to get really hot in the second half and just start making a ton of them and bring his percentage up, because he's below 30% right now, which is crazy for a guy with his history. He's never done anything like this over the course of a full season. I think the lowest of his career is like 37%, which is still a really good percentage. So with Morrow, I wonder if a hot streak is coming. I wonder if him changing his shooting form and like not dipping the ball, like I wonder if that messed with his shooting form. I don't know. But it's a weird thing, and I feel like it's going to come back up. The Bulls have guys who historically don't shoot well from three, who are, again, not shooting well from three. And the Thunder, I think there's some more hope in these percentages coming up, even though, yes, they're bottom three, they're bottom two. Remember, I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Head on to iTunes, subscribe to Lockdown Thunder. Questions, comments, email lockdownthunder@gmail.com, or find me on Twitter, @FredKatz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs, and check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do it for today. I'm back with you tomorrow. I'll be previewing the Thursday night game against the Knicks. But until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.